Record. Hi, Mary Catherine. Thank you so much for meeting with me. I asked you to talk with me today because youth activists such as yourself have made such a crucial impact in advocating in our advocating for our change in our society. And I'm so excited to learn more about your involvement with activist movements. So over the next hour, I'm just going to ask you some questions about your history with activism and also what you hope to accomplish in the future and just to learn a little bit about yourself. So to get started, if you can, please just tell me a little bit about yourself. It's your name, your age, where you're from, where you're at school, and anything else that you want to share.
Sure. So my name is Mary Catherine Hannah Siegel Plant. I go by MC, and I am from a suburb of Chicago called Mount Prospect, Illinois, and I'm currently going to school at Harvard out in Cambridge. And so I kind of focus my efforts on environmental activism, but I have a lot of political activism as well. So I definitely work in that intersection. And in my free time, I love like playing sports. I play basketball, softball, lacrosse. And then I'm also really into like singing, just kind of for fun and doing those sort of things.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing and congratulations on Harvard. That's amazing. And so now just to get into a little bit of the activism you were just talking about, especially with your environmental activism, can you just talk to me a little bit about which movements you're passionate about and what you've done as a youth activist within those different movements?
Yeah, of course. So you want to specifically with my environmental activism?
You can talk about whatever you want, environmental activism, and I know you're involved in a couple other things, so please share everything if you can.
Okay. So I guess with environmental activism, I'm super interested in like environmental racism. So that is the phenomena in which people who are low income or are people of color are often disproportionately affected by climate change. And so, for example, like in Chicago, a lot of the low income neighborhoods, which are disproportionately, people of color, are located near like industrial areas and areas that get a lot of air pollution and things like that. And so I really focused a lot of my work in that in high school. So for example, the Flint, Michigan crisis that I'm sure everyone knows about, I interned at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And so I actually worked in the water division that kind of directly dealt with that issue. And so I was, and if you remember from the crisis, there was a lot of kind of controversy over how the Environmental Protection Agency handled that situation. And so I was actually working closely with a whistleblower who actually broke the case and went to the newspapers about the issue because his managers weren't listening to him. And so it was really just an extraordinary experience to be able to work in that office. And he talked to me a lot about how the reason that the Flint, Michigan case wasn't really being talked about as much at the time or wasn't being dealt with was mostly because a lot of the citizens of that town were low income and because they didn't have, you know, maybe the wherewithal or the education level to understand, you know, about the change from their water supply being changed from Lake Michigan, I think, or another lake to the Flint River. And they didn't understand the ramifications of that as most people wouldn't. And so they weren't able to advocate for themselves. So that's why it's so important to kind of work on education and advocate for those who may not be able to advocate for themselves. And that's what he did. And so I inspire and use his work to kind of inspire a lot of my work. So I worked really closely for the Illinois Youth Climate Movement, which was kind of the foremost youth organization for climate in Illinois. So we organized huge strikes with like 20,000, 30,000 people. I was the finance director for them. And so we worked a lot to kind of hold these rallies in Chicago that uplifted the voices of Black and Brown people, because oftentimes the people who kind of have, like, obviously I'm white, but like a lot of the people who have the time and like the money to be able to spend extra time doing the kind of environmental activism, especially in Chicago where it's super segregated, it tends to be like white kids. So we really wanted to make sure that just because we are in this privileged situation, because I'm going to be honest, like a lot of our team was white because of that. We want to make sure that we are just using our position to uphold those that are really being affected. And so that was like a big aspect of my work, was kind of making sure that I was stepping back a lot because I'm not as affected, even close to as affected as other people. And so stepping back and allowing other people to kind of take the microphone, and I would just kind of run the things behind the scene and make sure that they were, you know, safe and had their space. And so that was a lot of the work that I did. So basically just like kind of working in that intersection, I guess.
That's great. It sounds like you've done so much great work, especially through what you were talking about with the Flint water case and everything else. And so I'm really excited to continue hearing more about that. Are there any other movements that you have been engaged with as well, or has that been your primary focus?
I would say that was like a big primary focus, but then kind of going on the kind of like women's rights route, I was actually really involved with the menstrual equity movement. So I organized the first menstrual equity rally in Chicago. And so we were actually featured on like Fox News, PBS. We had like a WTW special done on us. And it was a really cool experience. And so I was able to learn more about people who kind of face period poverty, and also just learn how to organize like a huge rally. Like it was insane. And so we were sponsored by the Women's March. And we had a lot of support from really kind of experienced leaders and women leaders in the Chicagoland area. But it was a really kind of transformative experience to be organizing this at the age of 16 and have such a huge turnout and be able to kind of get my message out there. And we also donated over 400, 500 packages of menstrual hygiene products to local shelters that were in need. So that was just like another thing that I did.
That's awesome. Can you tell me any more about the rally and your role in it? Because you did say you organized it. So what did that entail? What did you end up doing?
Yeah, so basically I was the head rally organizer. So I kind of brought together a team of around 20 youth activists in the Chicagoland area that I kind of found through networks or, you know, kind of heard of. And then we had to kind of organize and get a permit for the rally. And then we had to get, obviously, microphone systems. We had to do advertising. We had to start going on TV. We had to organize a speaker list. We had to do a lot of outreach to find speakers. So we ended up getting like a comedian who has performed on Broadway many times, an Emmy-winning producer, and then a lot of other like really esteemed people. So that was kind of amazing. Just contacting politicians. And then actually, so I did all of that and was very successful. We had, I think, like 400 people show up. It was great. But after that, I actually worked with She Votes Illinois, which is a political action committee that I'm on the board of directors for, to pass legislation in Illinois that actually made it put into law that menstrual hygiene products had to be available in every restroom in high school and in colleges. And then also that women in prison had to have menstrual hygiene products available to them and had to have adequate amounts of menstrual hygiene products available to them. And then I also worked we also passed legislation for homeless shelters to ensure that homeless shelters were given access to these menstrual hygiene products. So it was kind of like a two-pronged approach. So basically I did the rally, was able to connect with She Votes Illinois actually through that rally. That's when they asked me to be on their board. And then was able to do work with them throughout the past 2 years to finally pass legislation and create real change. And so that was really exciting.
Wow, I'm so impressed. So between advocating just within rallies and also actually being able to pass movements, it seems you've done so much for the women's rights movements. And also, as you're talking about before, the environmental movements as well. So can you go into a little bit more detail? I think you kind of touched on it, but how you were able to get involved in all these different movements, especially because you've held such like esteemed positions within the movements as well. How did you start getting involved?
Yeah, so I would say, maybe this sounds a little silly, but in comparison to like a lot of the other kind of youth activists I know, I would say I got in the game a little bit late. So freshman, sophomore year, did nothing like this. I didn't do any activism. I'd never done activism before. I just was going along my high school career. Like, I played sports, like I did well in school, but like besides that, I really didn't do anything. And then when I was 16, so I think it was like April of my sophomore year, I applied for this fellowship, and it's called the Hurley Fellowship. Unfortunately, it's no longer running, but essentially they choose 30 girls from across Canada, the United States, and South America to fly into New York City for free and meet with some of the foremost women leaders in the world. And so I kind of just applied, like, I was like, there's no way, the acceptance rate is like 1%, like there's no way. But I somehow ended up getting in, and I was like, what is going on right now? Like all the people, all the girls I went with have like started their own nonprofits and like, were like, you know, on TV and we had been like recognized by Obama. And I was like, what am I doing here? And actually I was able to meet Amanda Gorman there. I don't know if you know her, but the poet who spoke at the inauguration. So that was like an amazing experience, but that kind of like snapped me into like some kind of trance where I was like, oh, like I can do this. Like they saw something in me where like they wanted me here, so I can do this. So that's kind of where it started from. And they gave me a grant actually to like start my own organization. So I started an environmental nonprofit. And then I got a lot of leadership training from them and a lot of support and a great network of people. So it kind of started from that. And then I'm just, this is so cliche, but like, I'm just a hard worker. And so you just have to like really work hard and make sure you're networking and make sure that you are, you know, kind of impressing the people that could get you to the next level. So I actually kind of got involved in the period rally through the Hurley Fellowship. A previous Hurley Fellow was the one who was like the national coordinator for it. And so she needed somebody in Chicago. So I volunteered, and you know, because we were both Hurley Fellows, she kind of said, yes, of course. And so from there, I think I made a name for myself in the Chicago community and then was asked to be on the board of directors. And then from there, I was able to get kind of some guidance in creating my nonprofit. And then from there, I was able to connect with like the Illinois Pride Movement. So it's just kind of like all kind of spidered out from that experience. And I think that's kind of like, there was no like plan. Like I just kind of went with it when opportunities were handed to me, and somehow I like ended up at heart. Like it's just so weird to me. Like this is never like, I don't know, I was never that person. So it's definitely weird, but I'm so grateful for it. And obviously I really kind of surprisingly found a passion for it and learned that I was really good at it.
That's great. That fellowship seemed like such an amazing opportunity. And also I do agree, sometimes you start getting involved in things and it spirals, and now you're where you are now and you've done phenomenal things for the movement. So thank you for all that you've done. And so I want to hear a little bit more about the just environmental organization you created, which you touched on a little bit when you were talking about that. Can you tell me a little bit about how it got started, which I know you mentioned a little bit through the fellowship, and what you were able to do through that?
Yeah, so kind of the whole focus of that fellowship was to create like a passion project. So it took me a really long time, but I kind of settled on pesticide use in my community because I knew that about 10 years prior, a group of like concerned moms in my community had kind of gone to our local school district and kind of complained about the pesticide use because a lot of pesticides are being used on the grounds where like children are playing. Obviously pesticides are not good for you at all. And so I remember they got completely shot down. Like nothing happened. Like they didn't change their ways at all. So I was like thinking. And I remember this event and I was like, what if I just gave it a shot again? So that was kind of my business plan, so to speak, was to try to eliminate pesticides and herbicides from my local town. So basically, I kind of had a lot of meetings with my local school district and my local park district. And they were like very, very like they did not want anything to do with it. So that's kind of the thing that nobody talks about with youth activists or like activists in general, is that you're going to like fail a lot. It probably took me like 10 meetings to just keep going back and then like do anything. And I think at that point they were just like, let's just throw this girl a bone. Like she just needs to get out of my office right now. Like just do whatever. So I guess I was just really persistent, but I was able eventually to get them to do a sample plot to test out a natural pesticide alternative and then compare it to the pesticides and see if, although of course it wasn't going to be as effective as pesticides, like everybody kind of knew that, if it was good enough to be used instead of it, so that it would be healthier, obviously. And so I was able to coordinate a study with my school and my park district. And so we were able to conduct that study. And then now they are, it's a really long process, but they are kind of right now analyzing the results of the study. And like just kind of, and they think it's going to be, it was actually like a positive looking study, but that was like a big aspect of it, was just kind of pressuring them to do anything over it. And that was like a big win. But then also I distributed seeds to a lot of my communities so they could plant native gardens in their own yards and things like that. And then I also presented about my project to a lot of different kind of local like horticulture experts. And I was mentored by a natural horticulture expert who is helping me try to transition to a different system in the park district. So it's really like ongoing. It's a lot of like technical stuff that I don't want to get into really, but like it's, that was kind of the goal of the project. And then I was also able to like Jane Goodall about the project and was able to kind of get her insight as well. And so it's just been like a really interesting experience, and not necessarily, like, to be honest, not necessarily the most like successful thing I've done, because we haven't like gotten there yet, but it's still ongoing. And it's so important to know that like, just because something isn't necessarily going to be like, I don't know, accomplished right now, doesn't mean you shouldn't keep working on it and make those little baby steps, because, you know, just starting the study was a huge step. And so if somebody else in my community wanted to come behind me and do something else, then that's, you know, that's just edging your way forward is kind of a really good game plan with things like this.
I really love that perspective, because that is something that in activism a lot of times you do see failure, but you have to be persistent. So I really love your positive attitude and your persistence, especially as you were talking about the group you started. So kind of just jumping off of that, to other people who are aspiring youth activists, do you have any other advice besides the fact that you need to continue pushing forward that you want to share?
Yeah, I think that's something that people tend to overlook in general, whether this is in school or extracurriculars or activism or anything, is that like social connections are so important. Like social connections aren't just something that like, oh, it's, you know, you hang out with your friends when you're not doing work. Like, no, it's important that your teachers like you and respect you. It's important that your parents have respect for you. It's important that the members of your community and the adults in your community have respect for you, because that's going to be what gets you to the next level. And so I think a lot of people are like, oh, if I just study really hard, I'll be fine. You know, if I just work really hard, I'll be fine. But like the reality of the world is that the world doesn't really work like that. The world works by personal, oh, I heard about this person, you know, oh, you know what, this person would be a good thing for that. It's all about who people know and what they think and what their opinion is of you. So one thing that I definitely worked on that I think genuinely like helped me a lot was just getting better at like the small talk, like knowing how to, if you're in a networking event, knowing how to kind of talk to people that are like 6 years old and you have nothing in common with, like things like that. And just being somebody that people can rely on and somebody that people can trust, because that kind of reputation is like, you can't fake that. Like no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you study, if you're not somebody that people like, and if you're not somebody that people trust, you're not going to get very far. So I think that a lot of that's like the biggest piece of advice I can get is work on, and something you can work on. Like it's definitely like, that's a good thing. It's not like, you know, IQ where you can't really change that. You can totally work on your social skills in like kind of professional settings and set yourself up for success. But I think it's something that a lot of people don't really talk about. So that's like the foremost thing that I would say is the best thing I would do.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I do agree. It's really important to like when you step out of the classroom to work on actually talking to people instead of just studying. So it's a great point that you brought up. Going back to when you were talking about how important it is to establish these social connections, and you also were talking about this a little bit before, are there any people that you think really were influential in helping you get involved, and what kind of connections have you made with people that's changed your perspective on activism movements?
Yeah. So actually, with this question, I'm going to like change gears a little bit because I forgot I didn't talk about this project. So I guess I'll introduce this other project that I did that has like people that I really, those are the people that I kind of were my biggest mentors, I think. So I actually did a project with my counseling kind of my counselors like in my school. So basically, our counselors were like notorious for being awful in my high school. Like everybody knew that they were just so bad. Like they would like be like, somebody would come to them and be like, I'm really sad. Like this sucks. And they would like call their parents and stuff like that. It was just like really weird. So at some point I was kind of just like, enough is enough. And it was, this is kind of like when I was like in my activism, like, you know, kind of like I was just already in the activism sphere. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do something about this too. So I actually organized a study through my school, and I actually wrote a like research paper on it. But essentially we studied how what the impact of like one-on-one meetings with freshmen would be if they had it with their counselor at the beginning of the year. Because essentially my school didn't even do that. Like my school didn't even like have meetings between a counselor and like a freshman, like in the first few months of school. And I just thought like, that's so important if you want to build a level of trust with your kids through like 4 years and a level of rapport, you want to like meet with them right away, one-on-one, because before they would just do their, like a big gymnasium or something. So I thought that was like stupid. But so I organized a study, and one of the people that was really kind of my biggest supporter was my vice principal. She was just like incredible, and she would like work with me after school and help me, you know, with certain aspects of the study. And she was in charge of the counselors. So she kind of, if she didn't say yes to this, then it wouldn't have occurred. And she was just like my biggest supporter in and out of school. And so I just really look up to her so much. She's just such like a kind person. And it was just like, as soon as I walked into her office and proposed it, she immediately was just like, yeah. And I don't think I've ever met an adult who's that willing to kind of place their bets on like, I was like 16 at the time. So like, and it was like, it was a big project. Like it wasn't just like a little thing. Like she had to spend a lot of time. I had to spend a lot of time. The counselors had to take a lot of time out of their schedule to work, to do this and to meet with everybody. So that was an amazing experience. And then I was actually able to present this at the Illinois School Counselor Association's annual conference. And so I was like the first student that they'd ever invited to present anything there. And I had like a full session with like I was being followed by like one of the foremost like psychologists in the United States. I was like, this is crazy. And so the president of the Illinois School Counselor Association actually was like my second biggest mentor. He again was just kind of the same way, just so open to like a kid coming in and doing a study and saying, you're doing this wrong. And just for an adult to be like, yeah, we probably are, like, tell us what to do, was just like incredible. And so they're my two biggest role models. Like I still text both of them a lot and just like ask for advice, and they're just like awesome. So I think if I hadn't had them two throughout the process, and they both wrote recommendation letters for me, which I think also really helped with my kind of college application process. But I genuinely don't think if they had like, if I had met them or been really close with them, that I would have gone as far, because they just kind of showed me what kind of leader I wanted to be, and that I want to kind of have humility and know that I can obviously be wrong, and that people coming up behind me are going to be better than me, and that's okay, you know.
That sounds great. And so just elaborating a little bit on what you briefly mentioned with the like psychologist who was keeping sort of tabs on you and working with all these esteemed adults. How did you feel as a 16-year-old, or now I'm assuming like an 18-year-old, how did you feel being the youngest one in the room, but still being the one advocating for change?
Yeah, I think that's like a common theme that I see in my life, is I am like a lot of the time, like one of the youngest or the youngest in the room. And I think it's interesting, because I think almost it emboldens me a little more, because I kind of have this like mentality, like, well, I'm here for a reason. Like I'm here, there's a reason I'm the only kid in this room. Like, there's a reason why there's all these adults. I'm here to bring some kind of change. Like, I'm here to be the odd one out anyway, so I might as well just be crazy with it. Like, that was kind of my, like, I don't know, which maybe isn't the right mentality to have, but, like, I never struggled with, like, bringing up the issues I saw and kind of working with it. And again, I think part of that comes from these adults really have to respect you in order for them to kind of listen to you and implement your strategies. And so being the youngest one in the room, I also had kind of an understanding that I needed to be really professional and come across in a very adult way, which can be a little intimidating for sure, because obviously, like, you know, you're a 16-year-old, most of the time you're just surrounded by other 16-year-olds who are very immature and, you know, whatever. So it's a big shift to have to go from that to a working world and be in those kind of rooms, but like those big conference rooms with leather chairs. And, you know, it's definitely a shift. But one thing that really helped me was like dressing the part. So like whenever I would go into like one of these meetings or like meet with somebody, I would always like dress super professionally, mostly because it just made me feel like a badass. Like, so like I would just like, yeah, I would just go in, I was rocked, and like I would put on makeup, I would just feel super confident. And that kind of elevated me and my mentality. So that's like a big thing too, is just like dress for success. Like, it's so important. Like, obviously, you know, the inside is what matters, but the outside can make your inside better, if that makes sense, you know?
Thank you for sharing that. I do agree, Jess, dressing for success really does make you feel the part. So that's good advice, especially to other young activists who are trying to get super involved. So sort of jumping off of the idea of what you were talking about with your work with your school counselors, just wondering what has been the favorite movement you've been a part of, or favorite event you've organized, or any of the sort of highlights of your youth activism which you want to share?
Yeah. Actually, I guess the my favorite thing, and I didn't mention this before, but as a result of my study, now all of the freshmen in my entire district, which is the largest school district in Illinois, has like 13,000 kids. Every single freshman meets with their counselor now, starting this year, because of the study that I did. So that was like such a cool feeling to just like know that, you know, I changed the lives of that many people. It's crazy. So honestly, that would be like my favorite thing, just because it's such like a big number and it's such like a quantifiable number. But I also think that the period rally, just because it was like my first activism thing, it really does hold like a special place in my heart, because I just remember being like so terrified, just everything was so scary, because like I didn't know what I was doing, and I was somehow like organizing like this rally. Like, I had no clue. And so I remember like the night before the rally, I was just like, I was like almost to tears. I was like, nobody's gonna show up. Like, I was just so scared. And that rally also, like, it literally took, I don't know, probably 200 hours of my time in like 2 months. Like it was a lot. Like, I was like doing it every single second I got. I would wake up like 5 a.m. to like make sure I was like texting speakers and co-hosts and presenters and the security people. Like, it was just insane. So that just, I'm really proud of myself for the amount of work I put into it and for how successful it was, and that it was like my first thing. So that definitely holds a really special place in my heart.
The work you did on that rally sounds incredible, and I'm so happy that everything worked out well for you and that you were able to get a huge turnout, because it is such an important thing to be fighting for. Thank you for all the work you did with that. And so I'm wondering, so now you're at Harvard, what are you planning on doing in the future? How are you planning on bringing your activism to Harvard, or even outside of the school? Just like, what do you see for yourself?
Yeah, so right now at Harvard, I'm definitely trying to just like take it one day at a time. It's a little overwhelming. Every year is very crazy, in a good way. So I'm not like focusing too much on like extracurriculars right now. I'm just kind of trying to get my schooling down and you know, have my social like network down. But I would say, well, I'm majoring in eco environmental science right now with a secondary political science. So basically I'm setting myself up to be either consultant or some kind of a public policy consultant or advisor or making legislation or possibly just going into economics. But I'm really interested in kind of the intersection between economics and environmental science and climate change to kind of see how like a business perspective can be taken on climate change so that we can make real strides, because unless it's economically viable, we're not going to be able to make those strides. So it's kind of like my focus right now, I think. But yeah, just kind of taking it one step at a time. I'm joining the Institute of Politics, which does a lot of great things with the Kennedy School. And we host a lot of events with like amazing speakers and politicians. So I'm definitely looking down like the political route for sure. Just kind of keeping my options open and taking it one day at a time, because I definitely did a lot in high school. And so I think it's important to slow down. And just because I did activism in high school, or just because like I did environmental things in high school, doesn't mean that I have to continue on that path. I can always like go a different route. And I think I want to be very cognizant of that. And I want to like kind of allow myself to see what feels right now, because it is a time of transformation. So just taking it very slowly. That's kind of my game plan right now.
Yeah, that's a good mindset to have, especially because you did do so much during high school. And so just going back to the previous work you've done, I'm also wondering, is there anything, any activist movement you were in or any work you did, which if you could go back, you would change, or you would come in with a different mindset?
That's a good question.
Sorry if I'm stumping you a little bit.
No, you're fine. Yeah, you are stumping me just a little bit, but it's okay. I'll think of it. I'm just trying to think. I know one answer, but I'm trying to think if there's like a better one. Okay. Yeah. I think that it's actually interesting, because I was just talking about like the period rally. And it was a great experience, but I think that I definitely had a very naive, like, perspective on activism, because the reality is that a lot of students do activism because they want some kind of power, or they want to get into a good school. Some people are like that. Some people kind of go into it for a power trip a little bit. So I didn't know that, and I also didn't like know that I needed to be aware of it and watch out for it. So essentially with the period rally, the woman who actually was like the head of the organization period, which is who we were working with, her name is Nadia Okamoto. She actually went to Harvard as well. So she was kind of a year after the rally, so like in 2020, like during the Black Lives Matter movement, a girl came out and said that she had exploited her work and had used her logo and had stolen a lot of her ideas. So Nadia actually was kind of kicked out of her organization by the board of directors and was kind of blacklisted almost. And so it first of all, it surprised me a lot because I knew Nadia pretty well. But it also, as things started coming out, I started seeing a lot of things that, you know, probably I should have seen earlier, maybe, if I wasn't so naive, and I should have probably seen that. Oh, okay, I understand. Like, I wouldn't have been blindsided if I had been paying attention. So essentially, with the Chicago period rally, they were working with, like, I want to say, like, I don't know, H&M or some retailer or something like that. And they were working with them to give extra funding to 10 of the rallies. So, you know, being from Chicago, one of the biggest cities, obviously, third biggest in the country, I really wanted that extra funding because I thought that we could use it, and we could use it for sure. But because I was kind of a late addition, and because Nadia didn't know me very well, even though I put in an application, she didn't give me the money, and instead she gave it to like kids at like, I don't know, like UC Berkeley, where they have like a rally of like 20 people, and they gave them like $2,000, $3,000. And I was like, why do you all need that? So it was just kind of like this thing where it was very clear that she was kind of giving it out to people that she knew and people that were her friends who were organizing it. And so that kind of corruption obviously is not okay. And so I don't think she was expecting our rally to go well, because I was the youngest like rally coordinator in the country. Like all of the other cities were being organized with people who were way older. So I think she didn't expect much. And we actually had one of the most successful rallies. So kind of after that, she started like promoting our photos and like saying like, oh, look how good Chicago's doing. Like, and then kind of was texting me more and things like that. And so looking back on it, it was very clear what was going on. So that kind of, I guess, I don't know if I could have done anything differently. Like, I think I did everything that I could have done, but it just kind of left a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. And it definitely kind of broke my innocence around the activism movement, because obviously there's good sides, but there's also bad sides. And there's a reason why everybody's doing this really non-traditional path, especially so young. And so it's just important to kind of be mindful, I think.
So going off of what, a little bit of what you were talking about with how you were the youngest organizer throughout the entire country, what has it been like? I sort of asked you this before, but what has it been like facing that adversity of people not taking you seriously because you're the youngest person out there?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I face it a lot, but I also think that I get through it by having more knowledge than anyone else. Like, that's the way that I kind of face it. So for example, with the kind of pesticide whole issue, I was talking in meetings with like little groundskeepers who had gone to college for kind of environmental like things or whatever. And so I think when I first came in, they were very skeptical, like, what does this girl know about this? But I did Science Olympiad all throughout middle school and high school, and I was also actually like the state champion in the ecology event like 2 times, and regional champion for like 10 straight years. So like, I know a lot about the subject. And so I think just like they were kind of skeptical until I was able to use kind of terms and things that were obviously very technical and use that kind of language and obviously very clearly knew what I was talking about. And so that's the best way I find, is that the reason that people don't take young people seriously is because they don't think they have the experience, they don't think they have the knowledge. So if you just show them that you have the knowledge and you have the experience, then they can't do any, like they can't, you know, kind of say no to that, because that's the main issue. So you know, kind of always becoming prepared, always dressing up, always making sure that I do my research before any meeting that I need to, always making sure that I'm expressing myself in the right way and in a respectful way, and I'm enunciating my words. Just little things like that kind of separate you. And yeah, obviously, like the first time that you ever, you know, go in, like the first time they see you, they might have that, you know, kind of reaction, oh, she's young. But if you just kind of put yourself in that kind of like situation and make sure that you're prepared, they're gonna forget completely that you're just 16, you know.
I'm so impressed by all the work you put in for all the little things, especially even like every meeting, just the amount of research you're putting in. So just jumping off of that point about your research, to what extent do you think what you're learning in the classroom versus what you're learning in the field, what do you think about the balance between the two, and being able to also apply what you're learning in school to the different experiences you've had?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely, I don't know, it's kind of, people kind of laugh at me when I say this, but I don't like school that much. Like, I was never like into like school, like that was never my thing. Like, I don't know, like obviously I got good grades just because like I knew I needed to for college, but I wouldn't say I'm necessarily like a crazy intellectual person. I definitely got in because of my activism work and not because of the other things. And so I'm gonna be honest, like a lot of the subject material, I don't find it crosses over, but I do think that kind of the skills you learn from school, like collaboration and public speaking and Socratic discussions and interacting with teachers, like those are the kind of the things that actually matter to me. And so like, I remember like I took BC calculus like my sophomore year of high school, and I think I cried every single week. Like, I think I genuinely, like, I hated that class. Like, it was so hard. Like, but one thing that I learned from that class was like that I could do anything, because I'm not a math person. And here I was like taking BC calculus my sophomore year, and I was so determined that I wasn't even gonna be, like, I was gonna get straight A's throughout high school. And I remember working, just literally, I would get home from school, like from extracurriculars, at like 10 p.m. And I would like just work. Wake up at 5 a.m., work. Go in to see my teacher, work. Go in, work. And even though I was like not naturally good at all, like I was able to scrape by with an A and actually got a 5 on my AP test. And so that was genuinely like one of the hardest things I've actually ever done. Like, it was so hard. But it like kind of, I showed myself that I could do like literally anything. And that was kind of my, like my parents wanted me to drop the class and like just take an easier one, but I wanted to take it to prove to myself that I could do anything. And so like that's something that I definitely learned from school, was like how to persevere, how to work hard, how to manage your time, and also like how to prove things to yourself. Because I think that's actually really important.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's a great perspective to have. And once again, I do see your just constant perseverance that you had in activism movements and also just applying to school in general. It truly is impressive. And so I just want to go back to a point you were talking about towards the beginning of the interview, which you haven't touched on that much. Your work within the Flint water and the experiences you had within that. Can you just describe a little bit more about what you did, and if you have any other movements which you feel like you haven't talked about that much, which you want to go more into? I'm just so interested in learning about everything you've done.
Yeah. So with like the Flint like water, so that was it was basically just like an internship with the Environmental Protection Agency. And I, for the most part, like didn't work on Flint at all. Like I was mostly just doing like data stuff, like inputting little spreadsheet things and like working on like little like water like tables and like groundwater sampling and things like that. But about halfway through the internship, I was able to work with Miguel, that's the name of the whistleblower. And so we worked a lot on, I was able to read through emails that he was still looking through from constituents, and I was able to do a lot of constituency work, which is really cool. And then one thing that was also super interesting was like, I was going through a lot of emails, just like organizing things for the office and doing intern things. And it was so interesting because I was reading everyone's emails, and I was back to like the point where the Flint, Michigan crisis was going on, like back to that time period. And so I was able to read all the emails from like the coworkers, like to each other during that time. And it was so interesting because like a lot of the coworkers were like trash talking Miguel and saying like, how dare he like go to the press, and like, what does he think he's doing, or like things like that. And I was like, work still, like these coworkers, like they weren't fired, like only the manager was fired. And so like, I was still working with these people, like who were like, who had been trash talking this like amazing hero. So it was just so interesting, like even like in the civil service, like even like with the bureaucrats, even like an office where like you're supposed to be working for like the Environmental Protection Agency, and you're supposed to be working in the groundwater and drinking water division, and you supposedly have like a scientific degree, people are still like, you know, doing these things. So it was just like a really interesting perspective to get. And also just like, I had so much more respect for Miguel after seeing the kind of things that he faced, I guess.
That's a really interesting experience. And also I keep on hearing little comments about like sort of issues that you've faced with activism as a whole and different problems you see. Would you want to go into just anything within current activism which you think should be changed or that you would like to see a difference in?
Yeah, I guess like, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously issues with anything, but I think particularly with like this whole youth activism movement, I think it's very recent, first of all. I think it's like, obviously there were people who did this earlier, but I think it's like a whole phenomenon now, especially on the East and West Coast I see. So I'm from like the Midwest, so nobody around me was really doing anything like this. which I think kind of added to my like competitiveness almost. But I feel like if I was in the East Coast or the West Coast, like everyone else around me would have been doing the same thing. And so it's interesting. I think it's because it's like a tool to get into college now, and it's a tool for your career, which I'm not saying I don't think that's necessarily actually a bad thing. I just think it's kind of, it's just different than what it used to be. And so, you know, I think a big issue that I see a lot is that a lot of people want to like start things, like just let me start an organization, let me start something, and not actually look like if there are any existing organizations in their community that maybe you should just kind of volunteer, help out with, or join the board of, or things like that. Like I'm just a bit worried that it's changing a little bit from being just kind of we want to help people to being, you know, now it's a competitive thing where it's going to help me get into college. But on the opposite side, I do really think that if there is going to be like some kind of thing that people are going to compete for, like, yeah, it's not a bad thing. Like it's, you know, because even if people are doing it, maybe not for like the purest of reasons, the whole nature of activism is that you're going to be helping people anyway. So I don't like really mind it. And also I think it like builds a lot of really good skill sets in kids. I think that like being a leader like that and having to kind of do all of those things at a young age, I think it really sets you up for success in the workplace and in, you know, college and all those things. So in general, I actually don't mind it, but I do think that, you know, there is a bit of a kind of issue with that and that kind of controversy. And, you know, I think that's pretty heavily, I think people know that that's going on. I think that people can see that.
That's a great point. And touching on what you were just talking about with the skill set that you think you gained, what kind of skill set do you think that your involvement with activism has given you? And also, how do you think you've evolved as a person based on all your work that you've done?
Yeah, I definitely think that like one of the things that I definitely have improved upon is like just my overall like ability to work, because like I never used to, like I, you know, I touched on this, but like I was just, you know, kind of a normal kid. I think that being like working on activism, it really gave me this like almost superpower to do like 100 things at once. Like now I can multitask like no one's business. Like I will go on record and say that that is totally like my superpower. So like I just I think that's a great skill that I've acquired, and I'm very grateful for that. That wasn't something I was expecting. And I think another thing is public speaking. That's something I've really developed. I remember the first time I ever like spoke to a big crowd of people, like I was awful. I was so bad. Like I was like talking fast and like my, you know, my pitch was all over the place. But now I feel completely comfortable, like you know, with any group of people, and I'm a really good public speaker, and I kind of pride myself in that. And so that's like a great, just a great skill to have that you kind of learned. And then again, just dealing with people in professional environments and dealing with different personalities and having to make sure that everyone's skill sets are being used adequately, I think that's a great skill to have. I think all of these skills are just things that are priceless. And so I think it's the younger you can develop it, the better, and the more you can kind of critique it and work on it when you're older. So I just think in general, like it's such a good exercise for your brain and for doing these things and thinking outside of the box as well and coming up with like creative solutions and things. I think it's great.
And it's great you started so young that you were really able to develop those skills. And so I think at the end, you just mentioned something about the creativity as well. What kind of creativity do you think you've had to really embody in order to lead these different movements? And also, what do you, what's your favorite form of activism? Like, do you enjoy your in-person protests or through social media or through getting to have those one-on-one meetings with people like you've had? Which do you think has been both your favorite and most influential?
Yeah, so kind of touching on like the creative aspect, I think that it's a lot of creative problem solving, I would say, is a big aspect of like activism, because like no matter what you think you're gonna do, you're not gonna do that. You're gonna do something else. There's gonna be issues. Like you need to be able to fix it in a timely manner and in a composed manner. So I think that's like a great creative thing that you have to do. And also just like to come up with an idea and to come up with an event. Like that is just working your brain to the max. So I think all of those are just such great examples of like creative entities that you are, you know, using and doing when you're doing activism. In the sense of like, what's my favorite one? I really love rallies. I just love that energy. Like when you're just chanting with like other people and having fun and kind of walking kind of movement together with signs, chanting with music. I just think that's so incredible. And I was able to organize the Women's March in 2020. And so I was like the youth organizer for that. So that was just such a great like experience because it was like a crowd. Like, the Women's March in Chicago was actually insane. It's like 200,000, 300,000 people. And so like, it was just nothing like I'd ever experienced before. So that like, that's so amazing. I love that like thrill. But then I also just really do like genuinely enjoy like those one-on-one meetings and making connections with mentors and people and kind of talking through an issue together. So I would definitely say that like that big crowd is good, but also just like that intimate kind of problem solving is also really, really good.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Just to go back to what you said about being a youth activist for the Women's March, how did that compare with your role during the period march that you did and any other type of march protests that you've done?
Yeah, so I would definitely say the Women's March was really interesting because that was like, that was crazy just because the Chicago Women's March gets so much like press coverage. And so to be like on like the main team for that, to working with all these amazing women was so cool. And again, like Amy, like the youth one that they were kind of like asking about like TikTok or whatever. It's just kind of like kind of funny. But and I don't want to like rag on this topic too much, but kind of going back to like a little bit of the controversy around activism, like that is another thing I did see with that group of women was that they were all incredible individually, but I kind of found that when they came together, it was actually a little bit toxic. Like I'm not even gonna lie, like they were very catty almost, like just like I don't know. So it's just yeah. It's just an interesting thing. I definitely just kind of like stayed out of it. But just even in these like crazy powerful groups of people and these people doing amazing things, there's still going to be that whole aspect of some power hungriness and who's the leader and who's in charge and who does everybody listen to. And it's just like, it's not productive. And so I think that like seeing that definitely, it makes me know what kind of leader I want to be in the future and that I'm not going to be like that. And so I guess it helps in that sense. So it's a kind of a good thing to be exposed to young as well, because I know how to, you know, kind of check myself and make sure that I am not being like that. And then as to like how it compares, it was a bigger scale than anything I'd ever done. Because obviously the Illinois Youth Climate Movement and the Period Rally, a little less well known as organizations, like the Women's March, a big major Women's March. So it was definitely a lot better attended. And so it was just like a totally different scale. But I think that what's interesting is like, I definitely had the least control over the Women's March in the sense that, you know, I was kind of board member. And then with the Illinois Youth Climate Movement Strike, I had like way more control as the finance director because I'm in charge of all the finances. But then as like the head rally coordinator, I was like everything. So it's definitely just like a different level of like intimacy with the project, and it gives you a different level of satisfaction when it pays off. So I definitely, even though the Women's March is like bigger, I had more satisfaction from the period rally than with the Women's March. But obviously that's just because I was like more involved, but I loved all of these things in general.
The more you talk about the different things you've done, it gets so much more impressive. You've really just done so much. So I'm wondering, is there anything that that you want to share that you think is important that you haven't touched on about your work within activist movements?
Oh, I guess I have one more thing.
Go for it.
I just, I also like was on the tutor leadership team for my school. So I helped organize like 150 tutors in my school and like make sure I organized schedules and made sure that there was a tutoring system. And I just think that's so important because like I really needed to be tutored again in math so much when I was little. And I was always like so embarrassed, like I'm like the math tutor, like. So it was just really cool to kind of have that full circle moment of being in high school and being able to like work to like destigmatize tutoring and work to like create programming in the tutor program at my school. It was entirely student run. You apply to be on the board and, you know, all of this stuff. And so I was like the marketing director. And so I was able to kind of create like posters and videos that encourage people to go to tutoring and kind of share my personal story. And so that was a really fun project for me just to be able to like help my fellow peers and do that kind of organizing.
That's great. I, especially being on a college campus too, you know how important tutoring can be. That's a really good cause to be involved in. And so just as a, like a final question, I know that you were talking about how now you're at school and how your interest in activism might be evolving a little bit. Is there any movement that you think that you would want to get involved in, or any new way of advocating that you see yourself doing in the future?
Yeah, I definitely want to do a lot more policy work. I definitely want to work in legislation and do more internships and kind of get on the inside, on the inside of companies, and definitely like work to kind of go from the inside out, if that makes sense. Because I feel like a lot of the times I'm from the outside in, I'm trying to like affect them from the outside as not a member of their company. But I also think that something that can be really impactful is kind of working for a company and creating new proposals and creating new changes within my company. It's actually called, there's a term for it, it's entrepreneur, and so a social entrepreneur. And so I think that's what I'm going to definitely be focusing on more in the future and looking for that, those kind of opportunities as I enter the professional world and start doing more internships and start, you know, kind of working for bigger companies. Because obviously Harvard is a lot of, it definitely spits you out into these like big financial companies. So even if I end up working for something like working from the inside to change how they do certain things to make it better for everyone.
That's great. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you do in the future, especially with that new perspective that you're bringing. So is there anything else that you want to talk about or want to share?
No, I think I'm good, but thank you so much. You did an amazing interview. You're awesome. You're great.
Thank you. And thank you so much for meeting with me. And for all the work that you've done, because youth activists truly are some of the most important people right now throughout the world and advocating for necessary changes. So I really appreciate all the work that you've done and seeing what you have accomplished and what you're going to accomplish. I cannot wait to see you in the news one day.
Oh, stop it. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh.
Yep.